This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. We have a wonderful, wonderful new twist to the show. We don't always get these because, you know, this show, Animal Rights, we interview authors and writers and people that write about animals or, have animals as part of their characters in their books. But every once in a while, we get a fun and interesting twist on things. And so now, today, we have a super-duper singer-songwriter coming on board. Of course, we're talking about the world-famous Skip Ewing. And we're going to talk to Skip about his latest release of a single, Road Dog. And talk to him about animals, of course. We'll talk about dogs and horses and all that wonderful stuff. Then I want to pick Skip's brain a little bit about writing, how he crafts his writing, how he goes about doing his work, how he's become one of the most famous songwriters out there. So we're going to pick his brain a little bit about that as well. So it's going to be a fun and interesting and exciting show. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now, he's a Grammy, Tony, CMA, and ACM Award nominee. He's written 11 number one hit records for legends such as Keith Urban, George Strait, Kenny Chesney, Triple Play Award winner. The list goes on. And of course, he produces his own stuff as well. You know, Road Dog, we're talking about. So I want to pick about it because I love the song, love the track. Of course, we're talking about Skip Ewing. Skip, welcome to the show.
Tim, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have you here because, like I said, I'm always looking for a little bit different twist to things. I don't always get to chat with the singer-songwriters and, of course, you know, Mark, our producer, and myself. We love music, country music in particular, and I know that's your genre, and we know you're one of the best out there. So I guess we'll first start talking about what you got going on right now, because you got a new single, new release, and album, I guess we call it in old school terms, a track coming out called Road Dog. So tell us a little bit about the music, the Road Dog, and how that all came about.
For sure. Road Dog is from the new album that's out called Road to California. So albums are still a thing, Tim. No worries about that. And this was just a fun track that it just came to be. I mean, I can tell you how I wrote it and what have you, but maybe I should just back up a tiny bit and let you know some of what you talked about. You know, I lived in Nashville for 20-something years, and I wrote for all these wonderful, incredible artists. I mean, you know, everybody from like Willie to Zac Brown Band. I mean, it's just, but I took a break because I had fallen in love with horses. That's a longer story, but it was a spiritual walk. For me, I sold everything in Nashville and went on the road to study horsemanship. I did that for about 8 years. I met my wife, and that's pretty much all I did. Then I started traveling, and we were doing clinics, and we ended up coming to Wyoming. And after we came to Wyoming, my wife took a job as a videographer for another horseman, and I grabbed my guitar and started back writing some. And after I played her those songs, she said, "Honey, I think it's time we put the journeys together." And I said, "I don't know, honey, if I go back and do music full time again, this is going to be comprehensive. I mean, it's everything. I'm gone a lot. And she said, "I just think people need to hear it." So that is what led me back to now, which is why we have a new album out. This is second album in a row that we've produced since I made that choice. And Road Dog happened because of our dog. I have a Pyrenees Australian Shepherd mix who's 115 pounds, maybe 120 now. He likes to eat, but he thinks he's a puppy, and his favorite seat in the truck is a shotgun seat, so that's why he's called Shotgun. Yeah, he can barely fit in that seat anymore. But the song came about because I walked out one day and looked at my truck. And Tim, you know, out here, everyone's got a white truck. It's just you don't always know it. So sometimes the dirt lets me see it's white. Sometimes it doesn't, right?
Right.
I opened the door, and I mean, my truck is absolutely filled with white hair and smudges all over the windows. And I realized that, as crazy as it is, I love it. I love our dogs. I love the kind of life that we have very close to us. There's got to be people who feel that, man, everywhere, because all of our friends out here have dogs, you know, like that. And they're just part of their lives. I mean, you know, that's just it. It's just they're four-legged family out here. I mean, they're with us everywhere all the time. And I came home and I said, honey, I had this little bluegrass riff thing, and I think it's fun. I said, it takes a chance that, you know, there's a lot of other people who like to travel with their dogs. And I said, but I think we're talking about, oh, maybe a few hundred million people. So we might be safe with that. And now we cut it. And it seems that a lot of people really like it. So, and look, it's led me to talk to you.
Yeah, well, we love it. I love, as you said, the riff, the tune, and the video. Now, the video, was that put together by your wife or another source? Because everybody's got to go to download the video, take a look at it, because it's brilliant.
Well, my wife is brilliant. I married one of the greatest spirits on the planet. To be true, I don't know what she's doing with me, but she's brilliant, and she's got the same kind of heart. She's all about animals, you know, as well. And our idea was, I said, honey, you know, with everything that you can do with video and post-production and all that, and she's made many videos, just the two of us out here. We've done, you know, even multi-camera shoots. Takes us forever, but we, you know, we have a lot of fun. And I said, what would you think if we integrated, you know, pictures of dogs, but not just any dogs? Like, why don't we ask our fans, you know, anybody who to send of their dogs in that are relevant to, you know, to traveling. And so we did, we put it out there, and we got hundreds and hundreds of great pictures. I mean, dogs on motorcycles, dogs on boats, dogs, you know, dogs dressed up, dogs asleep in the back seat. And Linda said, oh my God, I'll never be able to fit these in this video. But what she did is she took and she integrated them. So there's 150 individual of dogs at least in this video. And Shotgun's just riding with me, you know, in the truck, and I'm, you know, I'm singing the song, and we kind of just had some fun with the way that it looked, and then put all these dogs in. The way it worked out was really fun, and a lot of people were happy that, and now that it's going out to radio, it looks like there's going to be some more things like that that are going to happen, because everybody loves their dogs. And I have this thing about championing other people's joy and their successes, you know, so it makes me happy to involve other people's dogs. So if we get another one, if we have another chance to do some special video with a zillion dogs in it again, just so people can see their dog in a video and we can have fun. Oh man, I love it.
That's it. I love it. Well, I always say, if you put a dog in there, you're golden. Whatever it is, I don't care if it's a book, I don't care if it's an album, I don't care what you do, put a dog on there.
You know what they say, don't let an animal act open for you, right?
That's it. And then, you know, the song's fantastic. It really is. I mean, it just touches me. Of course, not only are we talking about dogs here, but just it hooked me right away. You know, I listened to a lot of different music. Some of it takes me a little while to catch on to, you know, really get it and really enter me. And this one hit me right away. Dogs, of course, being part of it, hit me right away. But the video is golden, because I love picking it. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a, you know, that's a, this dog. I wonder if he has a schnauzer in there. I'm a schnauzer guy. Is there a schnauzer in there?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was just, we had a ball. We really did. And the fun thing is, it's really, Road Dog is a, it's the dog who's actually singing the song. So, and that's a little different too. And I thought that was kind of taking the chance, but it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, that, you know, it was a lot of fun. You know, immediately, and I had to turn around and share it with my wife as well, saying, you got to listen to this. You know, this is the perfect song. And so, yeah, we've got to download it. Don't you worry about that, buddy.
That's what led to me being on the show, Tim, and I really appreciate it. And thank you for listening. Anytime someone listens this day and age, it feels like a gift to me. So thank you for taking the time to do that.
Well, thanks for putting it together. We do appreciate it. Well, let's talk. You touched a little bit about that, the journey, because going to Nashville, I'm sure, was a dream, and getting to work with all these fantastic people, seeing your songs taken up by them, writing. At what point did you get to where you're saying, hey, I've got to take a break from all this? I mean, was it more of, I've always loved horses and here's an opportunity, so I'm going to go, or I threw a dart at the map and Wyoming won, and so I'm packing up my gear and I'm heading there? How was the interchange? And then tell us a little bit about that spiritual journey and connection that you have with horses in particular.
Sure. Well, you know, I ran away from home basically right after high school and went to Nashville. I had a job offer, and I had done a lot of music before then, and I just never looked back. And I got offered a publishing deal and then a record deal. And it wasn't like I set out and said, hey, I'm going to be a country songwriter or I'm going to be a country singer. I basically, Tim, followed where I could, you know, stay alive doing music. And I worked on it and worked on it. And I found that writing was a natural progression for me. I've played guitar since I was 4 years old and I didn't know what I was doing. So I just made stuff up. So making up words to go with the stuff I was making up, that made perfect sense from the beginning. You know, endeavored to hone my craft. And then once I got a publishing deal and a record deal, I had, you know, my own songs on the radio. And then I started getting songs recorded by other artists and having, you know, many, many hit, I mean, 20 some hit records, at least in that decade and a half, at least. And it was a really difficult time as well. It's hard to write, consistently for 10, 15, 20 years. And a lot changes in that amount of time. And I have always been someone who comes to my writing more about those who are listening than if a chart is an indication of whether something is good. I have always said that it's more about hearts for me than it is about charts. There are a lot of number one records that I don't think are going to be remembered that much in 20 years, but I have some songs I wrote 30 years ago that are still, you know, getting played on the radio where I can't go somewhere and have someone, they'll know the words, any country I go to, anything. That's amazing. And that connection, that human connection, that lasting heart connection is what I'm about. And there was a time where it was difficult for me to write what I believed in and have that be what was getting played on radio. And if I'm not getting songs on the radio, a publishing company is not going to, you know, that's what they do. They're after the money, and money is great, but it doesn't drive me the way it does some people. And in the interim, I had been coming to Wyoming. I came in about 1999 or 2000, something like that, just to ride. I just went to a ranch. You know, I knew a bit about horses. My grandfather was a thoroughbred rancher in California when I was a kid, but I didn't ride, and I didn't really know that much. I was just a kid, you know. Went out and threw hay in the feeders and whatever, you know. But to kind of speed along here, after I had been coming to Wyoming for a number of years, I began recognizing in horses what I would never have otherwise recognized had I not spent time. I used to go down and just watch and just see how they moved and, you know, what kind of sounds they made, how they interact with one another, whether they were interested in me. And my relationship with any horse that I began riding, I began realizing that I was the one who was significantly limited in my understanding. What was that offering me as a human? And I began to realize, yes, I was more sensitive and I could tell some things about horses that I couldn't tell before and I had learned. But more importantly, I kept learning from them what I could do more skillfully. Where I found myself where I would learn something with a horse and I would invite that horse to do that with me. And if I wasn't skillful, the horse was still trying his very best. And it was rarely the horse who had the challenge. It was almost always me. And this inspired me. And so when I was in Nashville and I got to that place in writing where I went, I don't know if I can make a living the way that I really want, making the music like the music that I'm making now, getting to really be the artist that I would like to be, and never have been able to do that. And now I can. But when I wasn't able to, I just looked at my whole life and went, this feels spiritual to me. This is about me becoming the kind of person that I, or allowing that to flower, if that's a way, you know. And so I sold everything. I sold my house. I sold all my furniture. I sold everything except my guitars and my art, put those in a storage unit. And, you know, waved goodbye to Nashville for a while and went out to basically to learn about me and as much about horses as I could. And this changed my whole life. It really changed my, I feel it did. I feel it changed my understanding of relationships. It changed how skillful I was. And quite importantly, it changed how willing I was to look at how skillful I wasn't. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I could say, wait a minute, there are so many things that I'm being given the opportunity to recognize. You know, that's the old thing about the levels of learning, you know, and the first thing is you don't know that you don't know, and then you know that you don't know. Well, I think that that was a very important time in my life. And that relationship with horses and what I still put into practice from everything that I've learned is part of my writing. It's part of my, you know, part of when I'm crafting songs and making records, and especially when I'm out doing a show. I mean, that's a right now thing. That's an interaction that is just as, it's just as much a tapestry. We're breathing the same air. I know that's a weird thing to say, but I don't think of it as anything, but that is one of some of the moments of our life where we're taking breaths together, and it can be amazing. And hopefully I'm offering the kind of, you know, the kind of music and art, and now even my own heart a bit differently. And thank goodness, you know, I'm with Linda, for instance. I'm sure that I could not have been the man I am for her now under our circumstances had I not taken that journey. And I wouldn't be writing the music, and I don't know if I'd be having the same kind of success. It's pretty crazy that, wham, all of a sudden, you know, I'm getting songs, you know, got a top 40 song on the radio with Lainey Wilson and Ernest who cut that. This Road Dog song is out to radio. I've got this new album. It looks like we're going to cut a new project in May. Hey, I'm listening. If other people are listening and they'll open the doors for me, I'm all about it.
I love it. And I love the fact that you took that leap of faith to find your spiritual journey, you know, to take that journey, to find yourself, make that connection. Obviously, horses are a big part of that. Animals always bring out the best in us. And I would agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, I haven't walked into your shoes, but from, you know, what we've talked about and what I know of you, I do believe it took that journey to get back to who you are and to uncover even more of who you are. And now you have someone obviously side by side to take that journey with you. That's gotta be a thrill, and it's gotta be make you feel good about the fact that, hey, I'm doing the right thing.
Well, it does. And, you know, I mean, I just think as humans, the more times we go around the sun, the more things we've learned, whether we wanted to or not, you know. And so that does change. That does change things. And horses they're not, you know, the entire spiritual element of my walk, if that makes any sense. But the reason when I say that it's spiritual is because, you know, it's beyond the horsemanship, what we might call horsemanship skills. As far as, you know, I ride this well, or what, you know, however you want to say that. But it is about recognizing our own growth and development and offering that, for instance, to other humans that we're with and with horses that we're with. Sometimes just being aware and being present is like, I think it's one of the greatest gifts that we can give, even with a horse. Sometimes I feel the greatest thing you can do for a horse is nothing, just give them a minute. Maybe they've been working, you know, with you and really given it. And maybe they were understanding. Maybe you're understanding. Maybe you're both not understanding, or maybe you both are. But that feeling, I believe, even translates to a horse. You know what? You know what, buddy or sister? Right now, you've got my complete attention. You've got my ears. You've got my eyes. Whatever. We're just whatever. We're just here. And it's awesome. That's the same thing with humans. And so I guess those efforts of going, how can I do that for all the relationships of my life, including the one inside my own head, you know? And this is one of the reasons why I would say it's spiritual, not because it's something that's magic between a person and a horse. I think things in that space, in my limited time, I mean, a decade is not a long time for some horsemen. That's, you know, but in that time, you know, to be able to say, I really feel there are some, most of that is just so concrete. It just is. These are the things that are. And the more we're aware of that, the better we can be. That's just how it is. You know what I mean? That's how it is. And what do we do with that? It inspired me. It thrilled me, actually, to be given those kinds of teachers and then to move into the rest of my life. And it continues, you know, it continues. But it's all up in my writing, that's for sure.
That's it. Well, I think it's a fantastic journey, and obviously a great story, and we're in now. It's led you almost full circle, but in a in a better place. And your journey to get you to where you are today, you know, has got to attract more. You know, positive energy attracts positive energy. So when you're in a good headspace, when you're in a good place, good things are going to happen for you, as well as you're going to attract good people around you. So good for you. I like it.
I agree. I agree with that. You know, cultivating the right kind of attitudes and the right kind of energies is definitely something that manifests well in everyone's life.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and chat a little bit more with Skip Ewing and talk about writing. He sort of led us into that. I want to know a little bit more about how he goes about crafting his skills in writing, as well as how he determines what he's going to record and compared to what somebody else is going to record. So everybody hang tight. We'll pick the brain of the master when we come back. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Or wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a 4-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises as a method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit PetLifeRadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with one of the best singers and songwriters out there, Skip Ewing. Skip, before the break, we talked briefly, or at least we introduced into the fact of your writing in general. And these are things that always fascinated me because, you know, singing and songwriting, how do you craft it? How do you do it? What comes first? Does the music come before the lyrics? Lyrics come before the music? Or is there another inspiration, such as a shotgun coming into play saying, hey, Dad, you got to write this song for me? How does that all work for you? Does one come before the other?
Well, that's a huge question. You know, there's an old saying that's like, you know, writing is like 15% inspiration and the rest work, you know? And there's another saying that I agree with, that is basically it is hell to be writing and heaven to have written, you know? So so both of those things come into play. It's not like you just decide you're going to write a song, or at least for me, that, you know, it sometimes takes me days for certain songs. And there was a time when I tried to finish a song almost every day, but I found the percentage of what I wrote was not as good as I thought it could be. And, you know, and so a smaller percentage of things that we get cut as far as whether they're for an artist or not. So let me speak to where I am now. And that is that I'm writing by myself. I don't co-write. I don't really co-write at all. And in country music, it's really common for people to get together, sometimes 4 or 5 people. I don't. I did for a long time. And that's not to say that I wouldn't ever. But my approach to it is different. I think of songwriting a bit like approaching a canvas as an artist. It's because it's sometimes easier for people to see, visually imagine what I'm doing with a song. And so as an artist, if I sit down at a canvas, I've got to decide what I'm going to, you know, what am I going to do with it? It's blank. I can do anything I want. So am I going to throw paint at it? Am I going to take a charcoal pencil and start a sketch down at the bottom corner? Am I going to look off at the mountains and say, I'm going to paint that whole mountainside? Or am I going to paint just the one flower that's right in front of me off to the left and decide to make that the entire painting? All those are decisions that, you know, that as a songwriter, I make, I think, similarly to an artist. What is the most powerful, at least for me, what's the most powerful images and feeling, which is very important in what we do, because it's affected by music, the way that we say things and what we choose to say. And what happens with the music, now we've kind of got into where not only is it artistry, but it's like cinema. Because in your own head, hopefully in some ways, I'm painting some pictures. And I have to leave you room to put your own life in it, you know? And so, although I know that's a little more in depth than some songwriters will tell you, I've found that after writing many hundreds of songs, and especially with what we've written recently, that I'm able to write the kinds of songs that I really believe in. And when I finish it, I look at it and I go, did I say what I wanted to say just the way I wanted to say it? Is there a hole in that somewhere? Was I absolutely true to what it's like to be human? Did I illuminate where we are similarly human and therefore a really strong bond? Was I able to tell that story in a way so you didn't have to know everything I knew about the characters? You just had to know what I told you, you know, and what was going on with the music. Well, I mean, this is something I've spent my life doing. But the other thing that you kind of ask is whether it comes up, whether it's music or whether it's the words or what is first. And truly, what's first is whatever's first, you know? So for instance, Road Dog's just a fun song, but even fun songs, they've got to be still put together the right way, you know? And they have to make sense. The music has to make sense with the lyrics as far as how they feel and, you know, the voice of it. And so I had just had that, there's a kind of a guitar riff that runs throughout that. And by riff, I mean like a movement, a certain thing that repeats with the groove of the song. And this turns into a Nashville pick fest on this radio. It's so,
right.
It is like every wonderful player in Nashville. I mean, really incredible players. Janae Fleener is an ACM, won I don't know how many times in a row, a fiddle player, and Josh Matheny on dobro, and Brent Mason on electric guitar, just on and on. And, you can't know that's going to happen, but you got to put it together in a way that if that does happen, it's going to hold up, you know? So here I had this, all I had was a little bit of a musical movement. Didn't know what I would do with it. Walked out to my truck. Saw this mess of a truck that I loved so much because I realized how much I loved my dog, and I didn't care if my truck was full of air, you know. And then it just, as I was driving home, that, you know, lick was kind of in my mind, and I just started messing with it. And I can do a lot of that. I play guitar long enough that I can think through a lot of things without actually having to play it. I can, you know, put chords and movements and things in my head. So on the way home, I was writing it, you know. It wasn't all the way finished by the time I got home. But then I played it for Linda, and she made me play it for her 3 times, and I didn't even have the whole thing, you know. And so I still had quite a bit of work to do on that song for it to be finished as it should have. But that's just one instance of the way that it grew up. And whether or not there were two different choruses, in this song, there's actually 2 different choruses, and then they're both sung the second half of the song. I think there's only 2 verses, but I got to, you know, I got to say things like, you know, a backseat driver with a pedigree. I mean, that's, you know, those kinds of things are fun.
Right, right, right.
For a writer, those, you know, those are the kind of things. That, yeah. So, and I have to say this only because, Tim, I listened to some of your previous podcasts, and I really, you know, I just like your way and the way you talk. But I was going to jokingly say, you know, one thing about the Road Dog video is that I think Shotgun may be the only dog in history who has ever lifted his leg on cue in a video.
Nice.
Well, I always say our dogs and animals train us. We never train them. So he definitely brought that song to you. And you know, I mentioned earlier about the video. Before I saw the video, I heard, you know, listen to the song. Even before I even broke it down in my little simple mind, I could feel myself driving down a country road with my dog beside me, you know, and it had to be a pickup truck. I was sort of, the words and the music and how it moved along drove me to think of that, paint that picture, as you said, in my mind. And then later I turned on the video and I thought, wow, I'm brilliant. That's exactly what I was envisioning. Not maybe 100 and some dogs, but everything else was what I was envisioning when I took a look at the video.
And you know how I say, like I said earlier, that I try to leave room for you to put your own life into a song, you know? So a song like Road Dog, I don't want to give such specific images that you can't put your own life in it and your own dog in it, you know? So for me, it was a truck. And I do say truck stop in there, I mean big truck, but I never said what kind of vehicle we're in. I don't think I said that in the you know, in the song. And and to leave it with things that were universal to, you know, to dogs. I mean, what dog doesn't like, you know, a drive-thru? At some point, everybody is given their dog, or everybody we trust, right?
Right.
Dog something from a drive-thru, you know. I don't know. It's just life, as they say it, you know, you've seen it, but truly, life is better with a dog or dogs if you are someone who is compassionate, you know, enough to really have a good relationship with a dog, then it can be one of the most incredible relationships of your lives.
Absolutely. And if you're not compassionate in that way, you better get yourself a dog, because that dog will turn your compassion out, or cat, or whatever it may be. They'll bring it out in you, that's for sure. So the big question, though, Skip, is when you're in that old white truck with dirt all over it, and you got shotgun riding there, and the missus decides she wants to go on down to the 7-Eleven with you, who gets the middle seat and who gets to ride shotgun?
Well, I've got to tell you, I've got a thing about letting shotgun ride in the shotgun seat when we're not on the back roads. I'm one who doesn't really think that's the safest thing to do. So our driveway is almost a mile long, and we live in northwestern Wyoming. And I mean, honestly, we live where there are Rocky Mountain sheep in the driveway. That's the kind of place we live in, right?
Wow.
And then we've got another 8 miles at least to the main road that's all just dirt and gravel. And, you know, it's a 2-lane road that nobody goes, you can't go fast. You just can't go fast on it, you know. So if he wants to be in the front seat and stick his head out the window, or if he wants to ride in the side-by-side with me out on the trails or whatever, and then we'll do that. And I'll stuff pillows down in front of the seat so he can put his paws up on it enough, because he otherwise is way too big for that. But yeah, once it gets past that, Tim, pretty much the back seat gets folded up. And he can live back there on his, you know, and that, because we have two dogs. We have Holly and Shotgun right now, and they're both big. And there's no question about whether mom or dad, depending on which one of us is driving, is in the shotgun seat. So it's still his seat. He just doesn't get to ride on it at those times.
I love it. Well, I have to envision my life, Skip. My wife and I have been together for almost 40 years. Yeah, we were just infants when it all happened. But in any case, we have two schnauzers, so smaller dogs. And the little princess white one has always sat in the front seat next to me. She's harnessed in and secure. Everything's good. And then our boy who just passed away recently, our chocolate schnauzer, mama's boy, Kramer, he's always in the back seat with mama. So now that we don't have Kramer with us, unfortunately, in body, he's with us in spirit, of course, mama's still in the back seat. So it's me and the little 10-pound white dog in the front seat, and mama sitting in the back. So I think I'm going to only get away with that now.
That's the thing. If it makes you happy, and it makes them happy, it's sometimes the simplest, just the simplest things that bring the right kind of joy, you know? And man, if you've got that, just don't mess with it. Just, you know, just have it. Just take your breaths while that's going on and go, dang, this is great, you know?
That's it. Well, join us in with, we are one of the many of the hundreds of thousands of your fans. And also we're all the thousands that ride around everywhere we go with our dogs. So we're in good company. And the next time you put your wife puts together the next video and you need one of the 120 dogs or something, just shoot me a note.
Well, you know, I think some special things are coming. I really do. So if you follow us on socials, like, and we'll certainly follow you as well. But if you will follow us on socials, and it's just Skip Ewing. I mean, every one of them is just SKIPEWING. There are going to be some special things that are going to happen. I don't know all of them, but there are so many different radio stations in different cities across the U.S. where there's going to be things happening with them doing some videos with us. And, all, you know, so there could be some really fun stuff. And gosh knows what kind of companies or situations might want to do some fun things with us. So who knows, Tim? Maybe your dog will be a star.
That's it. Just put it out there to the universe. So everybody, download the songs, download the album, follow Skip Ewing on social media. We can go to skipewing.com, I'm assuming, to find out about everything that you've done, your history, your life in a nutshell, as well as tour dates and things happening. So if you get a chance to go out and see Skip, definitely do that for sure. And meanwhile, download Road to California, the whole thing, and definitely put Road Dog at the top of your list, because it's a fun little jam, man.
There's actually, and it's the first time we've ever put anything on an album that had to do with dogs, but there's literally a second song on this album that is specifically about dogs.
That's it.
Tim, if you have the record, go to the...
Yep.
I don't know if it's the ninth cut or whatever, but it's called Wagmore. You're going to have to check it out. It's fun. So that's another thing that might happen with dogs. I don't know. It's just the way it came down this time. It just, those ideas just happened to be hanging out there.
Hey, man, once you put a song out about dogs and you slap your brilliant one on the cover for sure, it's always going to be that way. They're always going to expect at least one dog song from you, Skip. So I'm just letting you know that right off the bat.
I'm not promising that. But I am promising to sing Road Dog when we do concerts, that's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, everybody go out and make sure you follow Skip. Go to the website, skipewing.com, and follow him, see when he's going to be near you or in your town. Download Road to California and take a listen to Wagmore, right?
That's another one, yeah.
And Road Dog and all the one other ones. Skip, fantastic talking to you. I really do love what you do. Love the album. I love your spirit. I love the fact that you took a step back to find yourself, and now you're better than ever and swinging for the fences. So just keep it up, brother. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Tim. I hope I get a chance to talk to you again.
Absolutely. We'll look forward. You got to write something about a dog or a horse, though, you know, to get on this gig. So
it's more than done, see?
There you go. All right. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show, drop us a line. You can go to PetLifeRadio.com, and we'll definitely answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts. It's a cornucopia of barking fun. So it's PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.